Blog Talk Radio.
Time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is Saturday the 24th, 2021, and welcome to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Happy Saturday to everyone. Hope you're enjoying yourself today. It's here, at least in Atlanta. It's a beautiful day, and we have an interesting show today. We have some topics in the first hour that we're going to get into momentarily, but in the second hour, we've had these two gentlemen on the show individually before, and fortunately, we have them together on one show. Vocalist, songwriter, and vocalist, Mr. Joe Levy, and saxophone artist, sax player, awesome sax player, Mr. D. Lucas, will be joining us in the second hour. This should be a lot of fun. A lot of fun with these two individuals. So, without further ado, let me go ahead and open up the mic to the lady of the house, co-host here on the TMGS. And wow, you know, it's going into a year now that we've been on air. A year. The time really does fly. I just realized that. I took a look at the first show, but hitting a year. So, just open up the mic to Janet Davis. Janet, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Beautiful weather, like you said, except for it's hot.
Yes.
Other than that, it's a nice day.
Yeah, it is. I'm trying to stay out of the heat, but it is nice. Everybody was complaining about the rain and the other week, and now it is toasting and roasting out there. So I'm just going to stay away from it. But fortunately, there hasn't been much in pollen. That's a good thing. In recent weeks, so that's
I have bad allergies, so I'm happy for the rain. because it does knock the pollen down.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, been an interesting week in politics. There's a lot of grabbing, a lot of fighting and fussing and agreements. Well, I'll take that back. Major disagreements that's going on in Washington. Let me see. I'm going to try to pull up some of this stuff here. I was trying to get it to come up on the desktop. My desktop doesn't want to act right. Okay, but before I go ahead and bring that up, let me go ahead and open up the mic to another co-host here. Going to let us know what's happening in the big LA. Mr. Chip is in the house. What's up, Timon?
How are you,
Sir? Hey, Timon.
Hey, Janet, how are you?
I'm good, and how are you?
I'm good, you know.
How's that weather?
You know, you're talking about heat. Oh, it's been hot in LA, shoot. Straight, I mean, it's straight no chaser. I mean, they've just been 97, 91, 98. We've been in the 90s. You know,
wow.
I'm on vacation. I'm on vacation, but still, you know, it's just trying to stay cool.
I have family out in San Francisco this week.
Oh, okay.
My
daughter, they should be doing pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. So they gonna have a chance to do a little bit of sightseeing and visit some.
Now they got them fires in Reno though.
Oh, no, this is like San Francisco.
I know, but they got fires, and you know, if you go to Reno, Nevada, you start going up, you know, you ain't far, you know. And, so them fires and everything, that's another thing. We got fires everywhere. That brush is just burning everything.
Yeah, the smoke went all the way to New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
From the trees. You know, that's got to be something for it to travel across the United States to get to the from the West Coast to the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, they said something about that these fires are actually affecting the weather, not just the smoke, but you know that it has the effect on the weather.
Right.
I've heard that. I didn't see how that could be, but that's pretty interesting. And then I think I mentioned it last week, the cost of lumber has like quadrupled. I remember when a 4x4, I think it was a 4x4x8 piece of lumber or 2x4 pressure treated, was like $7, $8. You know, it's almost $18, $19 for one.
Oh,
because what people fail to realize is that a lot of that lumber comes from the forests in California.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, and it's the fact of production. They got the wood, but they, you know, but you know, them having to fight those fires, it's hard for them to, I guess what the guy was telling me, that a lot of the lumber companies can't get in there to get the lumber that they want to get, but a lot of it has been burnt. But, it's gone up. And housing and building is really, you know, booming here in the South. So figure that out.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, it's booming there because everybody leaving all the big states and they're going to the South to buy property. Everybody leaving is going to Nome, Georgia, and you know, Atlanta, and they want out of L.A. because L.A. does not want to build new houses in their area because it brings down the value of their home. So right now, like in Van Nuys and in the Valley areas, you got houses for $1 million. Them houses ain't worth that kind of money.
No.
They're inflated. I know the house that I used to own is now worth probably close to $700,000. Oh, that house ain't worth that kind of cash. But they wanted to say, because when the bubble bursts, and it's going to burst, I don't know when, but it's coming. And it's going, and they, them interest rates going to go up, and them prices going to drop down.
Right.
Because they, you know, you just can't, I mean, some people ain't even looking to buy a house no more. They just figure they're going to be in an apartment the rest of their day.
Wow.
You know, it's interesting that
that's
you said
why
that
storage
because,
is so expensive.
Yeah, it's funny that you said that because the houses, like they built a new subdivision across from where I'm at almost 2 years ago. And really have no yard. I mean, the houses are so close. It kind of reminds me of the homes in parts of California where the houses are so close to each other. Here,
right.
They really don't have the yard because people don't want the responsibility of a huge yard like it used to be. They want a smaller yard.
But you know what, Mike? When I see that, like being near golf courses and stuff, you know, and they got these big mm-hmm. houses with no backyard, I'm like, man, I'm not paying you all that money. I mean, that was the beauty of having a house, that you had a backyard. I don't want
right.
a house
yeah.
that just has a giant pool and nothing but concrete, but yet I don't have
you
a backyard.
I got a
you just got
front yard, backyard, side yard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. My neighbors are not right up on me, you know, but across the road, like you said, Michael, it's a new subdivision, and the houses are so close together, they just got a yard for entertaining with a fireplace and a built-in grill and stuff, but it's so little. You can't have
yeah,
nobody
got,
in the back.
Right.
Now, your house
have a concrete and just a little
your house?
Pardon?
I'm
my
not,
house was, it's,
the,
it was, it's a brick ranch. It was built in 1972.
There you go.
And you got
and
corner lot, right? Yeah. And yours are
yeah,
on corner lot, too.
No, I'm not a corner lot, but I
no?
I got about an acre. I got an acre almost. It's so close.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I lived in,
they won't
say
put
when
houses
when,
like
when,
that no more.
No,
no
they
don't.
Don't.
Yeah. But I believe when I lived in Altadena, I think my dad paid a little over $50,000 for the house that we lived in somewhere around there. And I think when he moved, and this was back in the 70s, and when he moved in the 80s, I think he got over $100,000 for that house.
I guarantee that house right now is worth, that house is probably worth close to $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
In Altadena? Oh, in Altadena? Man, I was just over there. I was just Pasadena yesterday. I know Altadena.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with all that, Eric, you ain't getting in there, man.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And it was only a two-bedroom house.
Yeah, that house would cost you a mint. Go down to Santa Monica for 900 feet of a house that got number 900 feet, square feet. Cost you $1 million in Santa Monica, California.
Wow.
Hey, I just opened
up
the mic.
Now you got to also take in the homeless. You got the homeless
right.
there, too.
Right.
Wow.
I just opened up the mic to Officer Crenshaw. What's up, Crenshaw?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Yeah,
good. How
you
doing, Officer Crenshaw?
I'm good. So, Janet, you own an acre, a lot of land. You could say my name real nicely and nobody would know, right?
Yeah.
And see, Simon,
yeah.
And you talking about those yards, what it is back then, our parents wanted to know where we were at.
Right.
So they could keep track of us. That's why they had big yards. Now, they don't care where the kids are. They do, but
mm-hmm.
they don't. They want them away from them so they can have some me time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, Mike, Officer Crenshaw, that when you got a cell phone, it was supposed to make your life more convenient. But now... It's made your life more inconvenient. It's not what it's supposed to be. I mean, I was just, you know, it's amazing. They talk about, and I know this has nothing to do with what we were talking about, but they're talking about how what social media has done to marriages and who cheating and how much cheating they're doing. I mean, it's off the chain. It's off the chain. On what they're doing. Said you can't even keep up with it, and they said, don't worry, the women right there with them. Everybody, like you said, They want this independence. They want to live this so-called lifestyle. And they're doing all these different things, you know, and they're incorporating them right into their home. That's why they don't know where their kids are. They don't know what's going on. Everybody's trying to be the hip-hop mom or the hip-hop dad. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All connected.
They want to brag about everything, you know. And
oh.
I can't blame them. If I was with Angela Wimbush, I'd be bragging, too. So I can't blame them.
Yeah. Now most guys will tell you, don't you do that, because if they find out who you got, you know, it's usually the guy that go get that woman that he's shocked that he got is the one that's worried about losing her.
Yep.
Now she can't go out no more. Now she can't hang with her girlfriends no more.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
All right, let's get into our conversations here, our topics that we have on deck for today. Let me go into this thing. Quote, this is deadly serious. Pelosi defends decision to reject two GOP lawmakers from the January 6th committee. Here it says House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on Thursday defended her decision to reject two Republicans tapped by House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy to sit on a select committee investigating the January 6th Capitol insurrection. Quote, this is deadly serious, Pelosi said during her weekly press conference on Capitol Hill. This is about our Constitution. Her remarks came a day after she formally barred Representatives Jim Banks and Jim Jordan of Ohio from the 13-member select committee set up by Pelosi to investigate the attack. McCarthy, who had named Banks, Jordan, and three other Republicans to the committee, said that unless Pelosi seated all five, he would withdraw all his choices and launch his own investigation. Well, funny, last week, didn't I say that will probably be one of his picks was Jim Jordan? That's what we are talking about.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I tell you, Mike, the reason why you can't have Jim Jordan, because he's a distraction. You can't have Scalia either, because he's a distraction. All those guys are going to do is hold up. Now, you want Liz Cheney. You want Kissinger. You want him. Now, you don't want Banks, and you don't want Jordan, you know.
Right.
Because that dude is definitely – you don't even want Ron – you don't want Ron Johnson. You don't want him either. Because all those cats are from there, because they all for Trump. And they don't want you to get the information that will expose them for who they truly are. They know what they did.
And they were the ones who wanted to reject the nomination of Biden on January 6th. Yeah. So.
Yeah, they did it. They did it. They also they rejected when they first wanted a commission done.
That's right.
They didn't want. They did not want you. They didn't want you to have a commission. They didn't want you to have anything. You know, because they're going to get exposed. Also, Jim Jordan, they're going to put him on the witness stand. And Scalia is going to be put on the witness stand, too.
That's right.
Them dudes are crooks, bona fide. They are definitely wanting to make sure that don't nobody get nothing.
But
they're there
to
distract.
They're trying to flip the script and say it's the Democrats when it really was the Republicans from the very beginning, you know, because they said wait till after inauguration. That was McConnell saying. And then all of a sudden it's too late. They want to just reside and don't worry about it no more. But when someone, all the stuff that transpired needs to come out in the opening, you know. And so
like
I'm just hoping this investigation goes through like it's supposed to.
Well, like they told them, you cannot. A lot of people have said you need to keep the insurrection in their face for the next 4 years. Do not allow them to get away. To let them know what you did. People died by the decisions that y'all made. y'all need to pay for what you did.
And try to say it's Antifa. Antifa was nowhere around. You know?
Ain't no Antifa.
Mm-mm. Antifa wasn't running around saying, hang Mike Pence. Antifa didn't get up and curse the president out and say, "What? Get rid of, call your people down, call your people off." They forget about all that.
And then they go kiss the ring. Ivanka tried to say that she tried to talk her daddy down, and he was sitting there just watching TV. And, you know, McCarthy's not to be trusted because he done changed his mind so many times. You can't trust that cat. He done one minute he's condemning Trump. Next minute he's going down to Mar-a-Lago, and he kissing the ring.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, that's why he couldn't give an answer to who he wanted on the committee until after he went to see Trump.
Yeah.
And then he comes back put people on he knew they weren't going to accept.
Well, you know, what I found interesting, that's what Pelosi was saying. The other three, I believe, they were the ones who accepted the outcome of the election, except for the two. And that's what she didn't want, that they would not recognize Biden as president. And they felt that the election was rigged. Actually, I think more so what Jordan was trying to say is that the Republicans were going to make this about Trump. I mean, the Democrats. Well, in a sense, yeah. He did crank the whole thing up, whether they want to believe it or not.
Right.
And then listen to the crap he's saying now where these recorded conversations were. What was he saying? That the Capitol Police were inviting them in and they were hugging and kissing?
Yeah.
Hugging and kissing? Now, you got me with the hugging. Okay. I could see where someone, hey, come on in, you know, pat on the back. But kissing? That's a little bit of a stretch there.
Right.
You know, so.
You mean instead of hugging, you mean mugging, because they were beating the crap out of the police.
Right. You know, it's a crazy situation. I don't know why, but when I try to pull up these articles on the phone, I might have to go to my desktop. My phone keeps wanting to drop out, so I have to look those up again. Let's see. I'm sorry, you guys. All right. So I guess now, Janet, she's supposed to be picking some Republicans this week, right? Or she has picked, but she hasn't announced it yet.
A former GOP representative met with her yesterday. I can't remember his name, but she hasn't made that decision yet. But a lot of the other representatives were last night on TV were saying that they were choosing him to be on that committee because he was one of the ones against the insurrection and what Trump was doing.
Interesting.
And he even said, if she picked me.
Well, I'll be glad when they get this going, you know, and get it out the way, you know, because as it's been said many times, they don't want to go down this road because somebody is going to be pointed. Some fingers are going to be pointed. Some things are going to come up. That's what I think they're afraid of. And that's what they don't want to happen. But someone is going to get picked out the bunch. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
All right, so I'm trying to open up this other window here, see if I can pull up these other things on my desktop. My computer's phone's really trying to act up. All right, so let me see if I can pull this up on this other one here, Janet. Okay, so Trump's ally. What's his last name? Barrick?
Yeah,
arrested
Barrick.
On foreign lobbying charges?
Yes, sir.
What's up with that? how many people now in this administration have been arrested?
Right.
Lost count, Michael, lost count. Just about everybody who was working for Trump has some kind of record and or has been indicted.
Right.
Or still being investigated. And then they were talking about how big the bail was for the guy, but when you do a bail, the bond is always lower, right? So they said it only amounted to $5 million, you know, even though they said $250 million. They said it only amounted up to be only $5 million. They should have raised it even higher because that was like a drop in the hat for him.
Yeah, I see what they're saying. He's been released on $250 million bond.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It just gets crazier and crazier. But this is the person that they said will be back in office next month, I believe. August. That's what they're looking at.
Oh, really?
He's gonna be. Well, yeah, you know, they said, you know, some Trump supporters who believe that Donald Trump will be back this month.
Oh, yeah.
Or next month. that will be back in office next month.
He
or
even thinks
if
he
anything,
be in
he'll be back in the White House by 2024.
But you know, Mike, that's why he gets them to do that, because that is how he gets his money. He's making those people donate to him by telling them these lies that he's telling them, and they're donating all that money. I mean, this man's making a hell of a lot of money, and he's going to stick it in his pocket. They ain't getting nothing for that.
Because he's not making any money on all his businesses and things and his properties, because a lot of he's losing out on a lot of it.
Oh, yeah. They said that the golf courses are losing thousands and thousands of dollars left and right.
Oh, yeah. They ain't messing with him.
Because he can't have anybody flying planes there to stay overnight anymore like he was doing before.
No.
I got a question. The guy just arrested, that was the one that they said didn't register as a double agent or something?
Yeah.
The one who got the dollar bomb? So,
yeah, he's the one that put Manafort in.
Since he's not an American citizen.
No.
But he's working as a double agent closely as an ally with Trump, somewhere down the road, words of treason are going to be spoken through somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody ends up getting charged with treason. Because wasn't he trying to buy off or sell secrets or something?
Yeah, well, then guess who he was dealing with? Michael Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Another one of Trump allies who should be in jail.
Oh, depending on what get told, he might end up being in jail.
Well, here's what it says is that his name is Thomas Barrick, and it says a billionaire friend of Donald Trump who chaired the former president's inaugural fund, there's that money again, was arrested on Tuesday and charged with illegally lobbying the Trump administration on behalf of the United Arab Emirates. A 7-count indictment filed by federal prosecutors in Brooklyn, New York, alleged that Barrick, a former employee and an Emirati business, failed to register as lobbyists and used their influence to advance the UAE's foreign policy goals in the United States.
They said a lot of Trump's talking points came from this guy, you know. And, you know, I think they're trying to do him like they did the head of that was running the business, the Trump business. I forgot his name. But the one that they were indicted. I can't remember his name. But the guy that was over everything for the finances for Trump's father and Trump. Well, anyway, they said.
Weisselberg.
Yeah. So this guy here is supposed to be, they're trying to squeeze him so that he will also give up information against Trump. So anybody that's under Trump,
going
after.
It's going down. It's getting tighter. Somebody gonna squeal. Who gonna squeal first?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, someone's gonna have to take the fall. There's no doubt. Somewhere down the line, they have to take the fall. And then we have to remember that Donald Trump still has these legal things going on that that eventually are gonna have to be addressed with the state court. You know, it's funny, like you said, all these folks are going down to Florida to kiss the ring, and he's really pushing because, you know, he might this time he might definitely have to deal with these problems head on. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know. It's just really sad that all these people are in such denial of what we see. Pretty much when you turn on the news every day, you're seeing a clip of January 6th somewhere on television every day.
Well, I tell you, Mike, my sister lives out in Florida, and she's talking to her librarian. And she said, she's a really nice woman. I said, uh-huh. And the woman said, Mike, that she don't believe that many people have died from the virus. And she believes that they want you to take that vaccination. They want you to wear that mask because they're taking your freedom. They want to control you and take your freedom. Came from a Southern white woman who's a librarian who said they don't need, y'all don't need to wear no mask. And y'all just complaining. It don't exist and ain't that many people died.
So all these young people are dying now and getting in the hospital and can't even breathe and saying, give me the shot, which is too late. It's all
they can't get it now.
Right.
Oh, you should hear them. They say, oh, I want that shot. No, not too late now, baby. I tried to get to you, but you told me I didn't exist. I tried.
Yeah.
I just told you to come
to your house.
Well, I just saw what this gentleman, they just showed on the news where this guy, he actually had the virus. He was on a ventilator, and the news guy was talking to him. He's, you know, they got him well again, but they said, so now will you take the shot? He said, no.
Mm-hmm.
He still won't take the shot. He said, why?
He said
because it's the government. Say again?
He said they're infringing on his rights.
Right.
You know,
you saw that.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing how we always talk about rights. How is it that ain't nobody? You ain't ever had to drink out of no colored water fountain. Ain't nobody taking your guns. And we just trying to make sure somebody don't get sick. And you're that dumb. And yet these are people who are running companies and opening businesses, and their fathers and mothers and. You know, I know some folks whose dads are physicians and won't take it. I know a black woman, her daddy's a physician. He will not take the shot. He's 82 years old. Won't take it. My sister's step-grandson lives out there in Florida with her. Won't take it. 25 years old. Now, my sister got it. She got the shot. But this boy thought, oh, no, it sterilizes you, and you ain't going, boy, you can't afford to take care of no kid, no way. Shut up. Just pulling stuff out of his butt. You ain't got no money? What they going to do by making you not work or keep you from having kids? What are they gain?
Yeah, I took both shots, and if I have to take a booster, I'll take the booster. And I still wear a mask when I go out because you got too many crazies out there not wearing a mask and never took a shot.
Yeah, I still wear masks in public.
I was just at the grocery store and I had my mask on. It wasn't no thing. I don't believe none of that. Hey, I can't believe you're wearing a mask. I don't. That stuff don't bother me. Get a life. There's more things in the world that you should be worried about. Getting hit by a car. Getting in a car accident. A mask? That's not a problem.
Right.
That's not a problem, you know. You should be worried about getting attacked from somebody or getting attacked, but not a mask. That ain't no freedom taking nothing.
I volunteer to give Janet her booster.
Okay. I'll let you know the day and the time.
Okay.
Looking on that too, we see where the Democrats from Texas, okay, they went to D.C., right, which I think we touched on this last week, but they went to D.C., but some of them have tested positive.
Right.
From being on that plane, on that small plane. Six of them, they said so far.
The big thing about that is the governor of Texas said when they come back, he's going to have them arrested. Arrested for what?
To make them vote.
Well, but they also said that they and they will not get their money. They will not get paid.
Okay, and hell, we do it all the time. We take a vacation without pay. They can take one. What is he going to have them arrested for? Because they wouldn't drop down on their knees and follow him?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know how they do.
That's bad when the governor says when they come back, I'm going to have them arrested.
Yeah.
I would like to know arrested for what?
What's the crime?
Because they're trying to stop them from taking our rights to vote away. You know, they are so bold, emboldened now, they don't even care that anybody knows that they're trying to gerrymander or suppress the vote to stop us from voting. Anytime you can pass a law where if you vote and it is not coming out the way you want it, you can change it. You might as well not
but
even go vote.
There's no law written as far as a committee not conforming together. I would like to know what charge he's going to have them arrested under.
Right.
Well, one thing they all are in agreement is when it's time to get a pay raise, they'll all vote on that one. And I never could understand that. How does a body get a chance to, I mean, how is it that the government can choose when they get a raise and how much? I never understood that.
About 15 years ago, Atlanta City Council did that. Here the police and fire were begging for a raise. I mean, begging. We hadn't had a raise in almost 12 years, and we was begging for a raise. So they voted to give us a 3% raise. It was supposed to be 7. They decided it would be 3. The following week, they voted themselves an 80% raise.
Wow.
Because they're part-time. The majority of them are part-time. So they wanted an 80% raise in their salary.
That's and they will tell you they are justified.
That's ridiculous. Wow.
They will tell you that they are justified in what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. We keep the city running and working the way that it's supposed to. Well, why can't your ass stop crime right now since crime is so high?
Well, actually, they say murder. Well, I know in California, they say murder is up. But crime is down.
Go figure.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Can we all just get along, Mike? Can we all just get along? Everybody just killing everybody.
In California, high speed chases are up too. Almost every day there's a high speed chase. Every day.
I always say, they're going to get you, boy. Where you going? They're going to get you. We got 3-4 helicopters above you.
But you know what now? I'm going to tell you this. I saw one the other day, and this blew me away. I saw one the other day. A guy stole a BMW, I think it was, and they were following him. Uh-huh. And they had like 3-4 choppers in the air. And he got into
I believe it was in L.A. He was out towards Inland Empire. There's so many chases. There's one almost every day. But he was flying, and he got up to the speeds of over 110, 112 miles per hour. And he exited, and he parked the car. Now, the helicopter is looking at him. He parked the car. He had on a red shirt. He got out the car, went over to the passenger side, took out a jacket. Mind you, what the temperature is in California, right? Took out a jacket and put it on. Now, that signals something wrong, somebody walking down the street with a heavy jacket on in 90-plus degree weather. But they're watching him, and he's walking down, you know, and the helicopter is looking at him, and he goes down in the alley, and he ducked off back towards the backside of a house. But do you know that, well, when the cops pulled up and they got to walking around, they went down the alley and everything, they were standing around, they were looking and looking, and the helicopter was about to run out of gas. They said, we're going to have to come back. But I don't know if they caught the guy.
Huh.
You know, they were looking around, and they went back around, you know, the house and went through a gate and looked, but they never showed if they ever caught him. Now, I don't know if he went to somebody's house that he knew and got inside. But the news never came back and said anything else about it. I might have to look that up and see if he managed to go inside of a house, but they didn't catch him. So that's
crazy.
And
the helicopter was getting ready to run out of gas.
Oh, yeah, the guy in the helicopter said we couldn't stay. You know, they couldn't stay in the air too much longer. They would have to go refuel, you know, because they know that they could stay in the air for another 20 minutes. And they have enough fuel to stay up, but then they have to go ahead and go back to refuel at the at the closest location. Cause keep in mind that helicopter is following from counties over, you know, so they have to go to the nearest station. So anyway, I'm gonna have to look that up and see what was the outcome on that. We got 15 minutes, a little over 15 minutes before our guest will join us, but I want to jump into this story here. Here in Georgia. Governor Kemp and Sheriff Roundtree announced arrest of ghost-faced gangsters and gang crackdown. Augusta, Georgia, Georgia's governor teaming up with the Richmond County Sheriff to help in the fight against gang violence. They are announcing the arrest of several members of the dangerous organized, hold on a minute, organized street gang known as the Ghost-Faced Gangsters Criminal Street Gang. Now, when I first saw this, you know, I was thinking, you know, I'm thinking Bloods, Crip, and everything. No, this is a white gang. They arrested 77 people. It says the investigation began January 2018. Over 40 indicted linked to white supremacist gang and Operation Vanilla Gorilla. Investigators state that the case stretches across the state's Georgia, South Carolina, and Tennessee. The Ghost-Faced Gangsters are allegedly the fastest-growing white gang in the country at approximately 5,000 members comprised primarily of white supremacists. The Richmond County Sheriff's Gang Intelligence Unit complied information on 163 Ghost-Faced Gangsters members and associates in the Augusta, Richmond County area, and 136-count indictment has been drafted, alleging that 77 members and associates have been implicated in violations of the Georgia Street Gang Terrorism and Prevention Act, the Georgia Racketeer and Influence Criminal Organization Act, and numerous criminal violations. Now, this gang, the suspects are reportedly facing the following charges. Okay. Criminal attempt to commit murder, trafficking, distribution, possession of methamphetamine, trafficking, distribution, possession of heroin, distribution of marijuana, distribution of cocaine, possession of MDMA, aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer, kidnapping with bodily injury, false imprisonment, possession of firearms by convicted felons, possession of firearms during commission of a felon, hindering the apprehension of a felon, obstruction of a law enforcement officer, criminal attempt to commit theft by extortion, printing, executing, or negotiating fictitious checks, theft by taking motor vehicles, theft by receiving motor vehicles, tampering with evidence, let me take a breath, and trafficking persons for sexual servitude.
servitude.
Yeah, okay, right. I mean, you talk about Crimson Bloods. This game. And I read an article where allegedly this game actually started out of the Cobb County Jail.
Mm.
Here in Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm-mm.
What's your take on this, you guys? What do you think? I mean, 3 years they've been investigating this game. 3 years. Imagine all the stuff they've done in 3 years.
You know, Mike, a lot of those people that, you know, joining gangs like that, they already know. They all of them probably got records, and a lot of them are followers, you know, to be a part of something. They feel like, because you can sell them on the whole somebody's taking something. You sell them on fear. You sell them that the world is changing. Also, there are people, they're not reading. They're not paying attention. They don't have a mind of their own. You know, they're paying attention to the ignorance of our society, you know. And when you got somebody in your ear, young guy, 26, you know, probably still lived at home with his mama or a drop out of high school, looking for something, and they're looking for something easy. They ain't looking for no hard work or anything. And they're following a bunch of knuckleheads. Same way with the black gang, you know, following the big homie or somebody. Same thing. You got something. Mm-hmm. You got to have a leader. I'd be interested to know who the leader of the gang is.
Right.
Who's got
you? They didn't mention that.
You know, because hey, right. They will tell you.
You know, it's funny that you said that because I remember years back, Janet, you probably could look this up. Officer Crenshaw, you might remember this situation that happened here in Georgia. There was a big-time drug dealer here. His last name was Bulios. He was known. Every vehicle he had was white. He had a white motorcycle. He had a white sports car. He had a white truck, this and that and the other. And he made a deal with prosecutor here, and he paid like $250,000 and agreed to stay out of Cobb County, and they said they were going to take that money and give it to the Cobb County police, and it would, you know, to buy equipment and everything. But that was illegal. For them to do that, it was illegal. But they got a slap on the wrist for doing it. See, once you make a deal, you can't go back on it, though, right? But he bought his way out, and he was a big-time drug dealer here in Cobb County. Once he made the deal and they took the money, they didn't go back on it. I guess they couldn't get the...
It's considered double jeopardy, and they could have if they wanted to treat him the way they treated Bill Cosby.
Well, yeah. But see, that's how come Bill Cosby's out, because the fact that they looked at where, hey, look, you can't go back on that deal. They shouldn't have done it in the first place. Correct?
It's illegal for them to take money on negotiation.
Right.
And give to the police department. Now, if they retrieve or what's the word I'm looking for? Ascertain, more so to speak, illegal funds through means of drugs, guns, prostitution, and they find to a gang, then that money through the RICO can be actually used towards the police department. Which we found out here in Atlanta, a lot of the I can't remember if it was Kasim Reed or the DA Paul Howard who used the money for their own benefit instead of buying new equipment for the police department.
Mm-hmm. And Reed is probably going to run for office again, right?
With his arrogant ass, he ain't going to make it. I mean, sometimes. Be humble and show a little bit of humility. You know, I mean, look at what Victor Hill was going through. And I don't mind throwing names out. What they going to do? They can't whoop my ass. I don't mind. You know, look at what Big Hill is.
You there?
I'm here.
Okay, I don't know. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But but that's crazy though. I mean, as far as, like I said, with that gang, for the 3 years, and like I said, all that time that they've been investigating and all this stuff that has been going on, it's just a trip. 5,000 strong throughout the three states. I don't understand.
Mike, we need to get some politicians. We need to get some politicians that don't have any political ties, so to speak. I mean, what was that movie that dude did? He ran for governor or mayor or something, and he was just a brother off the street. Was it Chris Rock?
Oh, yeah. Head of state.
Head of state.
Mm-hmm.
Because other than that, if you keep pulling in a bunch of people that's crooked and corrupt, that you just feeding into the same old thing.
Right.
Well, you know, now I have to say this. But okay, with Chris Rock, he did head of state, but I think the one you're thinking of, too, Eddie Murphy's movie, The Conservative Gin. Distinguished Gentleman, where, yeah, he ran on another person's last name, and then he realized what was really going on in politics. You know, he didn't know all the stuff that was going on, and he had to actually, you know, change things, you know, once he got
the money. He was in there for the money at first.
Right.
Until he realized the seriousness of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true, yeah. And it's just like they said, you know, when you go in as president, someone was saying, like, when Barack Obama won, when he finally got in there and they got to telling him what was going on, it was like, oh, my God, this is what's been happening? This is what goes down? You learn a lot of stuff that you don't know on the other side, what's going on. So, it would be nice if we could get someone who could not just go in and just do it for the money. It's just like, what's her name up here in Georgia? She moved from where she lived to go to Rome, Georgia, to be the senator for that district. And she had money.
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Pong.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And there's people in Rome, there's some that say that they would vote for her again, and then there's some that say, no, they wouldn't vote for her again, you know, because of what she's doing or what she has been saying. You know, she's not in it to do anything for her district. That's for sure.
Nope.
She's definitely not in it for that.
I ain't doing nothing for no districts now.
She owns a construction company.
Yeah. I wonder who buying from her. I tell you, boy, you got to be the dumbest redneck in the world you voted for her. I don't know how they do it.
She lived in another county. She moved over there in order to run for that seat. Because I believe the person who was there wasn't going to run again, so it opened it up for her really. But she still owns her construction company, but it's located in a different county. So, you know, so what jobs is she bringing to the district that she represents? See,
and you know that becomes like, you know, like I said, when you talk to you try to hang on to your friendships. Because you don't want to lose them behind, you know, their thought process and what they believe, whether it's, you know, getting a vaccine or voting for Trump or, you know, dealing with Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's really hard. And you want to save the friendship. They're not, but their beliefs And what Trump did and what he exposed was the beliefs of a lot of people that you never knew that they thought that way. And then all of a sudden they told you how they thought, and you go, oh, damn. You know, then you gotta figure out, do I block them on Facebook? You know, do I make sure I do not discuss politics with them? Because now I know how you think. And, and my sister Hannah would always say to me, but they're not bad people. We didn't say they were bad people. Just can't have a conversation with them on certain things. Like, you know, a lot of people, the QAnon people, Marjorie Taylor Greene people. And then they're also flat earthers. So you got the flat earthers, the QAnons, and they're all connected to Trump. And they're all connected to the vaccine. That's about not taking the vaccine. What do you do with that? You have to figure out, how can I associate with these people? You know, I got to make sure that I keep, you know, to keep the conversation within a certain parameter, because if you don't, you're going to lose your friends.
And, you know, it's funny that you said that, because when I was at Lowe's, when this whole thing came up, you know, with Donald Trump and this and that and the other, it's funny where some of my white coworkers, you walk into the break room and they get quiet, you know, and you're like, And then let's say you sit in the break room, let's say the television's on and they're showing something about Donald Trump. They'll look up at the television and they'll look away because they don't like what they see. You know what I mean? You know, you started sensing something's up. Or let's say you're sitting there and you're talking to somebody about, you know, the election, about Trump, you know, and what you didn't like and everything. And one of them walk in, and these are folks that you work with. And then they, like, look over, but they act like they're not listening. But they listening to your conversation, right? They definitely listening. Oh, Scrimshaw, you know what I'm talking about. You know some of the folks I'm talking about. But they listening. And some will be like, well, if you don't mind me joining into this conversation, this is what I think. And it's like, we didn't ask you what you thought. And it's funny how folks as you were saying, how you get to know how people really are.
Right.
Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I wanted to tell you this little tidbit before the top of the hour. A child died from COVID in her district, and she's still pushing these conspiracy theories about the virus, no matter what. You know, sometimes you don't think about it until it hits home. But by then, it's too late, because you're somebody that you dearly love and care about is gone and is not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this was 2 days ago, so a child ended up dying from COVID, probably that last Delta strand that's out there.
Wow. Yeah, it's sad.
Hey, Mike, they say they want parents to put something, ABC News suggested that parents put something important in the back seat to help them not forget their kids in a hot car. So they want you to put something important in the back seat to make sure you don't forget your kids. So just remember
like
that.
Like your child is not important, but there's been a lot of people who went to work and didn't drop their kid off and come back out and the kid is dead.
Right. I don't know what like I said, the kid is not important enough. That ain't enough. Mm-hmm. They're already doing it out here. They've left kids and dogs in the hot car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, it's like that case where the guy here in Georgia worked for Home Depot Corporate, left his son in the vehicle, went to work. The first stop at Chick-fil-A, went to work, left his son in the car, and then they show the cameras at the corporate where they show he went out to the car, got something out, and went back into the building. And left his son out there in the car, and the son died.
Right.
So, and he's still in jail over that one.
because the story just didn't add up. How do you forget you left your child in the car and then you went outside to the car and then came back in? You didn't know there's nothing wrong. There's just no way you could go up to the driver's side and open up the door and not notice something.
Years ago on where I used to work at, one of the coworkers brought her her stepdaughter was supposed to be on punishment to work and left her, and this is in the summertime in August, and left her in the hot car and was inside working like it was no big deal. And when we found out that girl was in the car, I mean, we gave her hell because the girl could have died. She was beet red. She was light-skinned, but by the time we got her in the building to cool her off, she was beet red. And, I mean, you don't do stuff like that. She could have been in jail, the mother, the stepmother, because the girl probably could have died from heat stroke.
Yeah. Yeah. Child endangerment.
Yeah. We could not believe she did that.
I'm still trying to figure out what I can put in the back seat that would help me remember. I can't think of anything. Mistress, blow-up doll, I can't think of nothing that I could put back there that'll help me remember to go in the back seat because my child is more important than anything.
Amen. Yeah.
And a lot of people leave their wallets in the car, but they leave them in the glove box or their center console. What can you put in a cup of coffee, a donut, in that's going to make you look back there? What?
But how can you put your child in the car tomorrow? Period. That's the part that's mind-boggling to me.
There you go. An alarm system that yells out at you and tells you, you dumbass, your child's still here.
You dumbass, huh?
Wow. Did I get a call in night?
Well, I just got a text from Joe Levy. He tried to call me. I'm sorry. He tried to call me on the messenger phone. I missed that. So I just text him. Let me see if he shows up on the board. Okay, I think he's here on the board now. Let's see. All right. Hold tight. Let me go to the green room, you guys. Janet, hold it down for a minute. Let me see if this is him. I'll be right back.
All right. Anyway, yes.
Across the acre, just say my name a couple of times. Just across the acre.
Well, you know what? I really don't hear what my neighbors are talking about. Mine
is the same way. I can't hear anything on the left or the right, front or back. And I love
it. Yeah, me too. Because my driveway is over six car lengths going down to the house, and I can definitely park cars in my driveway.
Yeah, you got a big front yard.
Yeah, it was 25 trees in the front until the city came and cut half of them in the front down, and I had to come back and cut the rest of it because it looked like a gigantic hedges in the front. I mean, they sawed half of the tree off, the trees in the front. I could not believe they did that.
And they didn't cut them all down because normally that would make the roof.
I called to complain, and they sent somebody out right away. Within an hour, they were out there cutting them completely down because I was going to sue them.
Yep. That weakens the roots of the other trees, and then you got to worry about it falling on your house or a car or anything.
Right.
All right, you guys, I'm back.
Okay.
I'm back, and, I just talked to Joe Levy. He said he's going to be calling back in momentarily because the battery's dying on his line, so he's going to call back from another line. But
our other guest is here, and hey, wow, I'm so glad to have him back. Loving the music. This brother's always on the go. He's always performing somewhere. All right. And I believe he's on the road right now. Wait a minute. Hold on. Who was that? Okay. I believe he's on the road right now. But you guys know I can't have the crowd here in the studio. So you guys, please put your hands together and welcome to the show, Mr. D. Lucas. All right.
Yo, 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 yo. How you doing?
Hey, 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 hey.
What's good, everybody?
Hey. What's happening, bro?
Loving your music.
Hey, man, it's all good, man. I'm down in Florida just kicking it for a minute, but, hey, I had a pop on here. Thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for coming back, man. Well, I truly appreciate you. Man, you've been busy. You've really been busy. I see you on I see you popping up with you over you're in Alabama. I believe you've been there a couple of times. You go to, Carolina? You said you're down in Florida now, but you're just chilling in Florida this time, huh?
Yeah, I'm just down in Florida. I am getting ready to work on another video for my next single coming out in September. So, man, I'm always looking, scouting, and, you know, always trying to be creative, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So, and I'm waiting for Jill to get back in. I'm waiting for him to get back in. I think I see him. He just popped up. I want to bring him in because I want to talk about you guys getting together. But I'm going to open up his mic. You guys put your hands together for our other guest also, Mr. Joe Levy in the house. What's up, Joe?
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey,
pal.
Hey, what's happening?
What's going on, Mr. D. Lucas?
What's up, fam? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, brother. Doing good.
All
not
right,
as good as you, but
right.
I'm doing all right.
Oh, hey, thank you for joining us, Joe. I appreciate it. Let me ask you a question here. You guys ever worked together before? Have you guys ever met?
Well, we have definitely met. D and I met when I was first getting started. He was already the road warrior then. We met in San Diego. I had just finished up at the Humphreys and was on my way home, and he was on his way in making his deal to come to Humphreys next. So the road warrior been out here doing his mad sack. When I grew up, I wanted to be just like him.
Man, you wrong for that, man. Man, listen,
you remember that thing?
Joe and I go way back, man. Joe and I are real good friends. And see, this is what makes this event that much more better, man, because not only are we just musicians and artists, but we're friends. And see, that's what makes it so much better, man. So much better.
Wow.
Yeah, I agree, man. When I got this show, you know, D was my first phone call. You know, and, you know, there's a lot of guys that's here in California. All of the guys are out here in California. Most of the independent saxophone players that are out on the scene are out here in California. And I could have called any one of them cats, but I called D because D is the road warrior. And he's the hardest working man in show business. He really is. He grinding. His music is great, and he's rising. And I just really appreciate his the way he does his thing. So he's going to come out to Sacramento and light it up for us.
Well, no. You know, the thing is, I'm doing this for you, man. You called me. And truthfully, to be honest, man, it's not even really about me. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to just do a segment. But really, the evening is really about Joe Levy's album release. And that's what I'm all about. If anybody knows anything about D. Lucas, I'm all about original music. I'm all about content. So if you're an artist out there trying to make it happen, want to put some content out there, I get behind you. And July 31st is going to be all about Joe Levy. I mean, seriously. I mean, I'm out there. I'm honored to be out there to be performing, do a couple of tunes, to, you know, do my thing. But really it's about Joe Levy and his new album. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
Let me ask you this.
Thank you, brother.
The title of your album is, I believe it's called The Time Is Now. Is that correct?
The Time Is Now. That is correct.
Okay. And give us a little understanding of the concept of this album of what made you come up with this title and really what you
right.
should expect
well,
from this album.
Really, the time is now. A lot of times when I come up with a concept of a song or an album is something that I hope that everyone could connect to or relate to. So, like, in this regard here, the time is now. I feel that the time is now for a lot of us to – it's about unity, because right now there was so much strife going on in the country. There's a lot of division. There's the time is now to kind of, like, kill the noise and come together, because you can't do anything separated. You got to come together. But also the time is now for you to get your stuff together. So a lot of times people can relate to that, you know, on what they want to do. So you can't you cannot continue to put it off. You cannot continue to defer it. The time is now to get it done and get it done now.
No, I'm just coming inside. I'm just taking a phone call.
So basically that's what this concept was. The time is now for each and every one of us to make the moves, the necessary moves, to be progressive and constructive in all walks of life.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's get into the track, The Time Is Now. We're going to take a listen to it. Then we're going to come back, and then we're going to hook up with Joe and check out what's happening with him. And I'm not sure if I got that new joint thing, but we're going to pull it up momentarily. So, you guys, here it is.
Okay.
Here's the title track of D. Lucas's LP, The Time Is Now. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the TMGS. That's D. Lucas, the title track from The Time Is Now. Man, that's a nice piece, Doc. That's a nice piece
there.
I really like that. That is really nice.
That one right there. That one right there is going to be the next single coming out to radio on September 27th.
Okay. Okay. Looking forward to it. And that should be available on all platforms. Okay.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Mr. Levy, sir.
Yes, sir.
So, okay. All right. So you said that D was the first person that you called. And
absolutely.
This show is going to take place a week from today. I believe it's called the B Theater in Sacramento, California, correct?
B Street Theater, yep.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow. So you folks that are listening in the Sacramento area, you better get your tickets now. How does it feel to get back out and perform now?
Man.
Since the pandemic.
It feels amazing to be here in Sacramento, man, in the city that kind of embraced me. Is nice, and it's going to be nice to get out and bring some of the new music and just have fun, you know, and entertain my friends here and some of the family members, people that I've grown to kind of attach to here in the city since I moved here, and just get a chance, mm-hmm. man, to, you know, get the cobwebs off and get out here and entertain a little bit, man. It's been a minute for me, so I'm looking forward to getting back into the stage here in Sacramento, and then we're going to be down in Morgan Hill with Greg Chambers on the 27th, so we're going to get it cracking, man, and start moving around the country a little bit. Like I said, I want to be like my big brother, Road Warrior, and start taking this a little bit more serious. You know, I got a day gig, and this construction company keep me running. But I'm gonna be like D. Lucas one day, get a magic carpet. You're going to just see me all over the damn United States. I'm up here like magic dust. You know what I mean? That brother is the wizard. He be getting around.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, he definitely gets around. Like I said, I see him pop up, and you know, I'm like, he's gonna be where again? You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's coming up every weekend. I see a new flyer.
Yeah, he's gonna be in all 50 states. But see, D is what independent artistry is about. You know, really, you know, D's career mm-hmm. is built by him. You know, brick by brick, piece by piece. So what you see is years and years of dedicated hard work and effort. Not only creatively, but administratively, to get out here and do what he's doing. So my hat's off to him, and I'm honored that he's coming out here to be a part of what we're doing here on July 31st.
Much appreciated.
And he'll be back out. He'll be back out here again in September for the Stockton Soul Fest. So you know he's going to be out here quite a bit, and that's the way it should be. You know, we get around here, we introduce our music, and we make our own careers because nobody's checking for us. This is our own thing, and we have to introduce ourselves to people and make this happen. Because there are no labels helping us. There are no people chipping in money, no production companies. This is all, you know, what they call bootstrap. This is what bootstrap music looks like. And he's one of the best at it.
Yep.
Wow.
That's right.
So, and he's, you know, he's an inspiration to a lot of us because, you know, he's proof pudding that if you get out here and put the work in and your music is good, that you can market it and get out here and move around the country and show people. And that's what we're trying to do.
And it helps to have platforms like TMGS, your show.
Absolutely.
So we can have a voice because every platform matters. I don't care. Yeah, my song is on Sirius XM Watercolor, but guess what? It's also on a lot of internet radio stations that's being heard as well. So none of this stuff should not go unnoticed. None of it, because it all matters.
And
that's the way.
And
I
D, how long did it take you to get to watercolors?
Man, let me tell you.
How long did it take you to get to watercolors, D?
Man, years, because
come on,
I've had some
come
songs
on.
That I felt should have made it, but it didn't make
yep.
it. But hey, all of it. Hey, one season, man. That's all it takes.
Well, the thing about it is, D, when you kicked the door open, brother, you kicked it open with a big boot, and I'm just glad for you because the music is great. And people are starting to recognize that not only are you a hustler, but you're a great saxophone player and a wonderful person.
Appreciate it.
And that's what I love about D. Lucas.
You know what, Joe? Here's the thing. And we're doing a lot of talking, man. I tell you, this is beautiful, though. But I tell you, I studied, not musically, I studied the way people move from the people that came from before me. You know, like Najee, Grover. Those guys were great musicians, but they were professionals too, man. So I kind of started to take a page from them, because by being a self-taught musician and a, you know, self-taught entrepreneur, you know, you got to learn from something. You got to get a blueprint from something. There's nothing new under the sun, so you got to study from someone or something. So Grover, George Howard, Najee, Walter Beasley, David Sanborn, Ronnie Laws, those guys laid the foundation to music.
Mm-hmm.
But I also studied the professional side of things, too, on how you build relationships. So, I mean, what I do now, I try to add a piece of what used to be to what we're doing now. And I just don't want to lose sight of that.
Okay. I got a person calling in. I want to open up their mic real quick. 702-469. Oh, from Birmingham, Alabama. How you doing? Hello? You hit the number one.
Yeah.
702?
Which one are you going with, Birmingham, Alabama, or 702?
Okay, wait a minute. 702, is that Birmingham? No, that's not. I'm sorry. 702-469.
That's Las Vegas.
702 is Vegas. I'm sorry. What is 702? Why am I thinking 702? I mean, why am I thinking
702
Birmingham?
Nevada.
Nevada, Las Vegas. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. You waved your hand. Did you have a question or comment for the guest?
This is Anthony, A.K. King.
A.K. King. What's up, Anthony?
A.K.
So I want to say a couple of things. I have my brother Yusef Kente on the line, because we were talking before we called the show and said, oh, that's right, let's call Michael Gay's show because Joe Levy going to be on there. So say hey, brother Yusef Kente.
One love.
Oh, okay.
One love. What's up, brother Yusef? What's up, brother, man? That's my brother's on the phone, man.
I don't know D. Lucas, but I will say this. D. Lucas, the references that you made in your saxophone ancestry Rolodex is to be respected. And your homage
to them,
incorporated with your idea of what music ought to be today, is to be respected. So I love you, and
that's
we've
right.
never even met.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that.
You are more than welcome. Michael Gay, I am really super proud of you, because you know what our thing is, and you know I love you, and I'm really proud of you for the Michael Gay Network, you know, the Michael Gay Show, and what you've done, because I know how you built it, and I've always seen that in you and love that in you, and I always, through all of our banter, all of our back and forth, I'm super proud of you, and I love you dearly. And I want you to know it.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Most definitely.
That's word right there.
Brother Michael Gay.
All right.
And
I do appreciate it.
Let me say this last thing, and I'm off your line. Let me say this to the host, or to your guest, Joe Levy. It's honorable to be your brother and to have ride with you through your career. You know, you are truly a guy named Joe Levy. And your growth with your approach to music today, just watching the simple loving of your voice and watching you get to that is so honorable, because you are a gift to mankind. All you ever got, open your mouth. And the simplest thing you sing is joy to the world, man. And I'm honored to call you brother.
Thank you, brother. Likewise.
That's what's up.
All right. Appreciate it for you calling in. I truly appreciate it. You and
Michael,
my brother.
I will never call your show again. If you don't have Joe Levy on here, I'm never calling your show again, because I don't like you like that.
I love you.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Well, so, you probably wouldn't, you know, I probably wouldn't be able to have him on that much, because he's going to always be on the road, I'm pretty sure, and busy. I'm just fortunate that he's made time and have time for us, though, today. But thank you, AK, for calling in. I appreciate it. Joe, you did a song called Inside You. And I love that track. I love it.
Thank you.
And the thing is,
I know the song from the movie Gale in the Storm, and you got two versions of it. And I listened to the second version, the B-side version, and I love that version too. So, I mean, I could play them both, but which one should we go with, the first version or the B-side?
Well,
and then
probably the B-side. That's the UK number one.
Okay, well,
wow.
Let's go ahead and go with the B-side. Here is UK number one. All right, so we're going to listen to the B-side version, UK number one. This is Joe Levy with Inside You. When we come back, Joe's going to tell us a little bit more about that song. You're listening to the TMGF, the Michael Kay Show on the TMGF. Right back.
There is healing of a baby. Often wonder if you're magic. When you come around, I can't help myself. Those things you do got me addicted, and I don't want no help. Your way is really fresh and lovely. May I have a taste of your sweet love? The more you give, the more I want, babe. I just can't get enough. I only see you wearing nothing, baby. You take me to a very special place. Inside of your love, baby.
Inside of your love.
There is strength in so much more. Sample all your love and sweet. And that's the reason we came here, baby, to fulfill each other's needs. When you ride my love in motion, that magic moment will be found. It will be found. Girl, I'm deep into your music. Love the way you sound, love the way you sound, yeah. Don't be shy, that's just nature, baby. That's the way you love when you feel free. Oh, keep on loving me, I can take it, girl. I can take it. You are my
welcome back to the TMGS. A guy named Joe, a guy named Joe Levy, that is. That's Inside You, the B-side version. Man, when I heard that, wow, I was just like, okay. I mean, it just gets better and better. What inspired you to make that song? I mean, to write that song? Well, I mean, I guess it's kind of obvious, but can you share? Beautiful too.
Well, you know, coming out of a divorce, man, you know, found myself in a bad place, kind of dark for a little bit, and the love of a good woman, man, kind of, you know, revived me, and that's what that song was about. Even though I was in no condition to return that love, but she took enough, you know, had enough love for me and care for me to help me revive me with her love, man, and it just, it was so incredible, I had to write a song about it.
Wow. Beautiful track,
that's where
man.
Inside You came from. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that.
Now,
and,
you two
you know,
are going to be
we're working
next Saturday.
On...
go ahead.
Yes. No, we're going to be on next Saturday here at the B Street Theater in Sacramento. D's flying out exclusively on the red eye to come out here and join me. Then he's right out of here to go to his next destination. I mean, he's in and out. But what a pleasure it is to have him here in Sacramento. We're going to have a great night of smooth jazz, R&B, soul, and a little gospel. Because, you know, my tour is called the Love, Faith, and Family Tour. Because that's what I promote, love, faith, and family. And to have the Magic Man, Road Warrior D. Lucas on the show with the ladies of Blueprint, who are, to me, the modern-day emotions. They're going to blow the house down with their vocal skills. This is going to be a great night in a genre that's fully covered because we're going to have smooth jazz with D. We're going to have the R&B with the ladies and then soul and gospel with me. And this is going to be a real, you know, I cover a little bit of everything. Smooth jazz, R&B, gospel, reggae, you know how I get down, blues. I'm all over the place with my artistry, but that's what makes me a songwriter, and that's what people are coming to hear, the new songs that we have. And, man, we have some great new songs to show people. The album isn't done yet. I still feel like I have more songs to write, but I'm just tired of sitting home, so I'm gonna show the people what we've done so far.
Okay. I'm sure they're going to be looking forward to it. Now, as I was going to say, is that where the two of you, well, you just mentioned everyone who's going to be on the show, and I'm sure it's going to be a treat for whoever's going to be in attendance. But what's the possibility of you two collaborating together, let's say, on a project, you and D?
Oh, that's going to be in the works. You know, whenever the maestro gets the notion, he gets some time because, you know, D got an album coming out every 2 months. Can't play it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm gonna have to line up with him about 12 days in advance, 12 months in advance to get on that roster because that brother is prolific. But, you know, I tried to get with D about 8 years ago. We talked about getting together, and we just been busy, man. But I have always wanted to work with him. You remember that, D? We talked about it?
Yeah. And, you know, it's just a chime on that. That, you know, it's going to happen. And the reason why I say it's going to happen because there are songs that I put out now on these current records. I've been on these records for like 5 or 6 years, man. And the producers of these songs, man, they always say, when you going to put this record out? You know, it has to go with the concept. You know, I have the record, but it has to go with the concept. So a lot of times I'm sitting on records that you're hearing now. Man, I did the record maybe about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's timing is everything. So I say all that to say this, that it's in the works. I mean, even though we haven't really discussed the nuts and bolts of the collaboration, it's already in place, man. The man upstairs, it's going to be on his time. So it's going to happen. It's really going to happen. But when it happens, it's going to be right because Joe is just like me. You're not going to put stuff out that's not right.
No, we're going to be playing. You hear the quality of the music, man. That's one thing I love about these music. You know, these music is world class. You know, and I'm working with world class producers myself. We're not playing around. That's why this music takes so long and costs so much. I spend money making my records, man, a lot. You know who I work with, bro. You know, I work with Derek Allen, and, you know, he's one of the best producers in America. Also producing Kim and several other major artists. So we're not coming with no, you know, garage band mentality. We're out here trying to bring music to the world class. You know,
exactly.
No, not at all.
You know, it's interesting. D did a song by a person that's a friend of ours, and actually, he was the last time he was here on the show. Yeah, and she actually came on and listened to it, And yeah. Why don't we just take a look, you know, just take a listen to it, Ted, all right, with everybody. So here's D. Lucas with his rendition of the classic Love Song. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the TMGS. That's Mr. D. Lucas with
Love Song. Oh, man, I love that track. And by the way, real quick, I spoke with Joe in the green room, and unfortunately Joe had to jump off something that came about. He apologized, but, you know, he said he really hates to have to leave during an interview. But, you know, hey, I'm hoping everything will be all right. But he had to jump away, so just hope everything will be okay on his end. All right, D, man, awesome. Awesome rendition,
man.
I love that. That is really nice.
Appreciate
and, of course, well, I mean, when you got the diva herself saying that she enjoys it, that's a compliment there. So interesting.
Oh yeah,
interesting. I got a hand waving here, and I want to go ahead and open up their mic and let them say hello and see if they have a question or comment for you. So let me open up the board real quick. I believe I know who this is. 323-338. Welcome to TMGS. You have a question or comment for our guests?
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much. This is Andrea from Los Angeles, California. I'm loving today. Wow. The music is awesome. I looked on Google to find out where B Street Theater is, 2700 Capitol Avenue in Sacramento. I'm down south of Los Angeles, although I do have people up in the Sacramento area, and I will definitely tell them to come out and support this event on the 31st of July. Oh, my God.
Well, thank you.
If I was up there, I'd be going. Come on.
Right.
Come on. You have the top shelf artists and guests to come on Michael Gay's show.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And the exposure is just like off the chain. Michael's exposure is like a ripple effect. Just keep going and going and going. So
I'm sitting here
on my back porch enjoying the day. When their music comes out, they said that they're going to come on the radio stations. I hope to hear them on was it KBLX out of San Francisco, also KJAZZ down here, which is a local nonprofit, very popular, and The Wave, 94.7 The Wave, also Stevie Wonder radio station, KJLX.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Definitely, I think my song is on the Wave in L.A., KTLA. Full Tilt, that's the current song that's on radio right now. It's on all the different platforms, internet, satellite, including Sirius XM as well. So definitely check it out. I really appreciate it.
I'd like to know how you two were able to collaborate, because I know the other guest is going to be performing that night. He's not in California, or either one of you, one's from California, the other one isn't. And the fact that your paths crossed some time ago, the venue is just wonderful. Are you looking to do anything down here, down south? Do you have a place up in Hollywood, Catalina Bar and Grill, and some other venues that would be open? If you're looking for some other venues, please hit me up. Michael, please share my information, even if you do it offline, with both your guests. I am so open as to what you're doing. I love the music. The only thing that's missing where I am is more people, too, and you're not here performing where I am. Love the music. So please continue with what it is you're doing, and Michael, continue with what it is you're doing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate you calling me.
Thank you.
Okay. Right. Okay, so, yeah, that's a good thing. I mean, because, say, you're the road warrior. You're everywhere. You have any plans of being in the LA area? Well, I'm pretty sure you do, but anytime soon?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I am. I'm going to be in the Southern California area, Studio City, California, September 19th at Vitello's Restaurant. And that's going to be on a Sunday, of course. And I'm going to have a special guest on keys, Gail Johnson from the infamous band Jazz and Pink, and also the guitarist Ray Fuller, who used to tour extensively with George Duke and Anita Baker. They're going to be my special guest there at Fratello's on September 19th. in Studio City, California.
Okay. All right. So for you folks that are in the L.A. area, there it is, September 19th, Studio City. All
yep.
right. It's just a little area just outside of L.A. of the Los Angeles area. Janet Davis,
right.
co-host here on the TMGS. Do you have any questions or questions or comments for Mr. D. Lucas?
Well, yes, I truly enjoyed the music, and Michael played some of my favorites tonight. And you were talking about touring in Atlanta. California and different areas. Will you be coming anytime soon in our area? Because we would love to check you out. Your music
okay.
just takes us to a higher level every time I hear it.
Thank you so much. What area is this?
Atlanta.
Oh,
he lives here.
I was just home. I'm in Atlanta. So I was there April 8th at St. James Live. So I won't know when I'll be back this year. If I do, it may be at City Winery. But what you can do is check my website
okay.
you know, continuously at dlucas.com, DEELUCAS.com.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Well,
thank you.
All right. Well, you mentioned all the artists that, you know, inspired you into what you do now, and my question is, when you're not doing your music, who do you listen to outside of those artists? But who else do you listen to?
I listen to all styles of music. I grew up on R&B. I grew up on pop, R&B. I mean, jazz, contemporary jazz. I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not uncommon for me to listen to someone like a Ledisi, Anthony Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, in terms of smooth jazz, then, you know, of course, Boney, Brian Culberson. But I still have to go back to my traditional guys back in the day, you know, Miles. I reach out to Miles every now and then, Coltrane. But at the end of the day, Grover Washington Jr., man. Grover Washington. But
right.
here's the thing. There's so much great music out there now. I mean, really. There's a
mm-hmm.
lot of good music out there, both independently and, of course, from the established artists. There's a lot of music out there. So and a lot of my great friends, like Julian Vaughn, David
mm-hmm.
P. Stevens, cats that a lot of people don't know, but they're behind the scenes on a lot of production work. Lynn Roundtree. Those guys they're doing it. They're making a lot of great music. There's a lot of great music out there. So I try to keep my ear to a lot of different styles, a lot of different vibes, and that's how you grow as an artist.
Right. You know, I like that you mentioned, really everybody that you mentioned, I know exactly who you're talking about. I love me some Brian Culberson. Well, I like what Brian did during the COVID, and I thought he was going to stop, but you know he does a live broadcast on Fridays from his home.
The Hang, yeah,
the Hang. Oh man, that was such a great idea for him to come up with that, and it's just amazing how he puts that together every Friday. And I truly enjoy it. I love how he does it. He spent a lot of time and money putting together that stuff. But yeah, good guy.
Yeah. And the thing is, what he brought was something that a lot of people miss music. A lot of the music lovers, they miss music. They miss live music. So what he did, he stepped in and filled a void every Friday,
mm-hmm.
The Hang. But also guitarist Adam Hawley, every Wednesday he had Adam Hawley live. And then
mm-hmm.
also on Friday you had the guitarist out of New York, J.J. Sansevierino. He had his
mm-hmm.
own cocktails and jazz every Friday. So it was a good thing that, you know, COVID was bad, pandemic was bad, but a lot of good came out of really pay attention to what was really happening, because what happened allowed everybody to slow down and pay
mm-hmm.
attention and kind of like reset. But the things that Brian Culberson did was just phenomenal. He filled a void. and I really appreciate him as an artist.
Definitely. Well, speaking of filling the void, let's go ahead and get Full Tilt. Since we mentioned that it is playing in the L.A. area, let's go ahead and drop in on this one. Here's Full Tilt featuring Blake Aaron. You'll be right back on the CMGS. TMGS, the Michael Gaze Show. That was Full Tilt featuring Blake Aaron and our guest right now, Mr. D. Lucas. D, I love both of these tracks. Well, I love them all, but I love this, and I love The Time Is Now. And in both of them, those guitar lines there, man, great pairing with your saxophone playing. Who was the gentleman that was playing on? Was that Blake Aaron playing the guitar there?
On Full Tilt, yeah, it was Blake Aaron. And on the first song that you played, The Time Is Now, that is Adam Hawley.
Hmm.
Adam
yeah,
Hawley's out of California, and he's an amazing producer. Amazing producer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love them both, man. Hey, well, we're about to wrap it up now. We got about 4 more minutes. Real quick, if you don't mind, give us your contact information on how we can get all this great music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. First and foremost, you can go to my website. If you're still into the physical thing, the CDs, you can go directly to my website at dlucas.com, and that's where you can get the exclusive CDs signed autographs. Now, if you're into the streaming, of course, Spotify, Apple Music, Tada. And, of course, iTunes for download. If you want to just reach out to me on social media, on Facebook, D. Lucas Sax, Instagram, dlucas.sax, Twitter, D. Lucas. And, of course, I have a YouTube channel that you can check out some of my video content. And just reach out to me on Facebook because I have 5,000 friends, Facebook friends, but I try to reach out to every one of them. So don't be a stranger. I like connecting with everyone.
All right.
Okay. Sounds good. Janet, any final comments for our guests?
No, the music just blew me away today, and I'll be surely to go on Facebook and befriend you because I'm just in awe of the music. I love
it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Really appreciate it.
Hmm. Well, I think, well, let's see. As I said, sorry that Joe Lee had to step away. He just texted me, and he told me what the situation was. So, but I still thank him for joining us today. And don't forget, you guys, Joe Levy and D. Lucas, this time, right about this time, well, not this time Eastern, but about this time Pacific, in Sacramento, California, at the B Street Theater, I believe that's correct, in Sacramento, California. Go ahead and make sure if you're in the Sacramento area that you get your tickets now. Check them out live. We come today in Sacramento. Joe Levy and D. Lucas. Okay, we're going to get on out of here. Thank you again, D, for joining us. Appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you here
thank
in the
you.
ATL in the not-too-distant future, which I believe you already told us that was coming. So thank you again, D, for joining us. I truly appreciate you, brother.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. I really appreciate it. Anytime. Anytime you need me, I got you.
All right. Hey, you guys, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy the rest of this Saturday. Thanks to all of the callers who came in. Thanks to Officer Crenshaw. Thanks to Janet Davis. And also thanks to Mr. Time and Ship in California and all the callers that called in today. We're going to get out of here. You've been listening to the TMGS. Good night, everybody.
Good night.